So before we get started with Haggadah, I'll just share, since it is a Parsha, share a quick idea on this week's Parsha. Parsha's Vayikra, no source, but just no source sheet here per se, but just a quick idea. So we all know there's a famous small aleph in this week's Parsha. Now it's actually interesting, if you notice, if you look at the pasuk itself, the first pasuk, the opening pasuk of the Parsha, is Vayikra al Moshe Vayidabar Hashem Elav. It would have made more sense, instead of saying Vayikra al Moshe Vayidabar Hashem Elav, it could have just said Vayikra al Moshe Vayidabar Elav. We already know that Hashem's speaking to him. So why does it have to say Hashem twice? So the Beis Avraham explains, fascinating idea. Based on the small aleph, you could explain that it's not Vayikra, it's Vayikar. And what does Vayikar mean? What does Vayikar mean? It means it happened. So what's the understanding of the pasuk? The understanding of the pasuk is Vayikar al Moshe Vayidabar Hashem Elav, which means whatever happened to Moshe, Moshe understood Hashem was talking to him. Such a different way to look at the pasuk. It's a very, very Hasidic, very, very Hasidish way of looking at the pasuk. But such an amazing idea, amazing message, is that whatever happens, this is the famous idea of the Baal Shem Tov, is that whatever happens to us in life, in general, it's a message from Hashem. Whether it's a message of, okay, this is happening to you, and therefore you should fix this, or this is happening to you, and therefore, you know, there's a deeper message. Whatever it is, but whatever happens to whatever happened to Moshe this year, whatever happened, again, Moshe understood it as a way that that Hashem was talking to him. So, and therefore, through that, that was how Moshe was able to attain the level of Emunah that he had. So that's just one quick idea on Parsha, and now we'll transition over to now we're going to transition over to the Haggadah. So again, if you want to follow along, or print this out, or if you want, I'm happy to give you a hard copy at some point. The link is on the chat for the Haggadah Companion to be able to use. So the Haggadah Companion is kind of formulated in two ways. On the left side is a box with very simple but basic understandings to make sure that we understand the basic ideas of what we're doing on this night. And the right side are some lines to write down, maybe some notes on some of the deeper ideas and some different Torah that we can share over. So first things first, why do we say brachos over wine? Very simple put is wine, as we know, brings joy, makes a person happy. And therefore, we also know that Yom Tov is a time of simcha. So therefore, it's very fitting as a way to usher in Yom Tov is specifically with wine. Good. That's very simple. Number two, why four cups? We all know, just good to do chazara. As the Messiah Shasharim says, it's always good to do chazara. Why four cups? The Dala Lashonos of Geula, the Hotzesi, Ve'etzalti, Ve'ga'alti, and Ve'lokachti. But now let's go a little bit deeper. Let's go a little bit deeper. The Pri Tzadik has a fascinatingly amazing idea that Rav Avram Shor and the Lekach Balivov takes one step further. Rav Avram Shor quotes the Pri Tzadik. The Pri Tzadik talks about, he asks a very simple question. Why do we make Havdalah over wine? On Motzei Shabbos, why do we make Havdalah over wine? So we all know this idea that on Motzei Shabbos, we're usually sad, and that's why we have Bisalim, because we're losing our Neshama Yisera. But the Pri Tzadik points out that there's, at the same time as us being sad because we're losing our Neshama Yisera, at the same exact time, there's something, the exact opposite happening. We're having a tremendous amount of simcha. And the reason we use wine, like we just spoke about, why do we use wine? Because wine, it, you know, brings simcha, wine brings us joy. Now, the Pri Tzadik points out is that the reason we dafka use wine is because we have simcha. What's the simcha that we have? Fascinating idea by the Pri Tzadik. The simcha we have is over our ability to be mavdil. What does that mean? In order for a person to be able to be mavdil, you have to have das. Right? The different machshava svarim and the machshava svarim talk about the different levels that you need to be able to of the different levels there are of understanding. But at like even on the most basic is you need to have a certain level of das in order to be able to be mavdil between two things, to be able to separate between two things. Now, if Avram Shor goes and takes this idea of mavdil and havdalah and extrapolates it to each of the four kosos. So where do we see this idea of havdalah of mavdil by each of the four kosos? So here we go. Let's go through it. When is the first kos? When's the first kos? Kaddish. Okay. What are we separating between by Kaddish? Ben Kodesh Lechol. Very simple. Very simple. Right? So we see the idea of Havdalah by this idea of Havdalah of Mavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol by the first cup. Good. Let's keep going. Second cup. When is the second cup said? So the second cup is said over the Agada, over Magid. Right? Okay, so what are we separating between in Magid? What are we separating between? We're separating between the Ben Avdus L'Cheiros, Ben Galus L'Gaula. Right? We're separating between when, that's the whole entire theme of the night, is remembering that we were Avadim Hayinu, Matzchil B'Gnos, just, you know, the other day is Daf Yomi, Matzchil B'Gnos, Umesai Mishpach. We started off, we were Avadim Hayinu, and then we went and eventually we were free. Great. So that's the second cup. What's the third cup? When's the third cup said? After Baruch, right? After Berkas HaMazon. Now, what are we separating between when we say Berkas HaMazon? Amazing idea by Rav Avram Shor. He explains, and it's a theme he has in many of his farim. He explains how we're being mavdil, we're separating between the meal of a Jew and the meal of a non-Jew. What does that mean exactly? When a Jew eats, we have this completely physical act, and we have the ability to take a completely, completely physical act and raise it up and make it spiritual. How do we do that? So a couple ways. Number one, we make brachos before, we make brachos after. And Rav Avram Shor explains there's another way that we have the ability to take something that's completely physical and make it spiritual. How is that? Through the perspective that we take before we start eating. Before we start eating, if we, you know, a person can wake up and say, okay, I'm going to eat some breakfast, great, because I'm hungry. Okay, that's one way of eating. Another way to approach eating is, I'm eating right now because I need the energy I need. I need the energy to be able to be the best Oved Hashem. I need the energy I need to be the best father I could be, to be the best mother I could be, to be the best son I could be. You know, the energy I need to be the best Jew and human being I can possibly be. When you take that approach, Rav Avram Shor explains, when you look at eating with that way, with that perspective, it changes the, you're eating, it's the exact same action of eating, but it took it from being a completely physical act and made it into a completely spiritual act. So that's the idea of the third cup, or how we're being separating between the meal of a Jew and the meal of a non-Jew. The fourth cup is said over when? When's the fourth cup said? Challah. But only on the second part of Challah, right? Good. Now, what's the difference between the first part of Challah and the second part of Challah? You might be wondering, wait, is there two parts of Challah? Okay, so there are two different themes within Challah. The first theme of Challah is all on the past. The second theme of Challah is on the future. Rav Avram Shor explains is that the fourth cup is being mavdil between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Now, why is this theme of Havdalah being mavdil so prevalent on this night? If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. That is the theme of the night. The theme of the night is that Yetzias Mitzrayim was when Hashem was mavdil us from the other nations. And therefore, yes, we do dalat kosos, but we don't do dalat kosos from the beginning of the meal. They're spread throughout the whole meal because this theme of Havdalah needs to be present throughout the entire meal because that is the focus of the night. So that's one idea on Kaddish. One other brief idea. If you take the word Mitzrayim, so if you look at Mitzrayim, if you write it out, look at the word Mitzrayim. There's another way we can look at the word Mitzrayim. It could be, instead of Mitzrayim, it could be Mitzarim. What is Mitzar? What's a Mitzar? A Mitzar is a constraint. Now, we talk about, right, we're commemorating Yitzias Mitzrayim, or it could be Yitzias Mitzarim. The night where we have the ability to leave our constraints. Everyone. There's no one in the world who doesn't have something going on in their lives, whether it's, you know, it could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be anything. Everyone has something going on. But on this night, the reason we start off with Kaddish is because the Kedusha, the spiritual energy that right away comes on this night, gives us a unique ability to have Yitzias Meitzarim, to leave our constraints on this night. And that's why the night starts off with Kaddish right away, because on this night we have this extra unique ability to leave our Meitzarim. So that's two ideas on Kaddish. Okay, let's go on to Orchatz. So why do we perform? Anybody know why? Why do we perform this ritual? What's with washing? Why do we? Okay, we're washing our hands. We know we wash our hands in Judaism all the time. But why without our bracha? What's the deal? What are we doing right now? So the idea is, the reason, just on a basic level, and then we'll go a little bit more deeper. On a basic level, is because of the concept of when an item is mukhshir l'kabel tumah. What is mukhshir l'kabel tumah? Means when something is susceptible to becoming tumah. How does something become mukhshir l'kabel tumah? If it becomes wet, right? The Gemara talks about you need to have any of the different types of liquids. If it touches an item after it's removed from the ground, it becomes mukhshir l'kabel tumah. So therefore, why are we washing right now? Think about it. What are we about to do? We're about to eat a vegetable that is dipped in water. So great. So we have to wash our hands to remove any tumah so that we don't transfer potentially any tumah over to that vegetable. Now, technically we don't have tumah, but it's all being done as a commemoration to the times of the Beis HaMikdash of what they used to do when they would wash their hands before doing anything. Fine. So that's a basic level. Let's go a little deeper. If you notice, out of all of the simanim, Orchatz is the only one that has a vav in the beginning. Right? Notice, it's the only one that has a vav. Why? What's pshat? Why do we have this vav? So again, another idea from Rav Avram Shor. Malek al-Khaliv, amazing idea, beautiful idea. He explains, as we started mentioning before, we have Kaddish. Kaddish starts off the night. It would be conceivable, it would make sense to us if we would start off the night with rochatz, or to wash our hands first, to get ourselves ready for this kedusha that we're going to have on this night. And then we do kiddush, we do kaddish. That would make sense, to get ourselves ready for the spiritual energy, for this kedusha. But the idea is just like in Mitzrayim, the kedusha happened right away. The Jews didn't do anything. It was Kedusha Dil Eila. It came straight from Hashem. And therefore, it kind of just happened and the Jews went with it. So too, on this night, the Kedusha just happens. Whether you're ready for it or not, Pesach's coming. Right? Whether your house is cleaned, whether you've gotten your matzah, it's it. It's here. It's coming. It's coming very quickly. So we didn't do anything to prepare for it. So therefore, Avram Shor explains, we need to do something to be able to retain it. What do we do? Orchatz. The reason we have the Vav is because the Vav is the Vav HaChibur, the Vav of connection, showing that there's a connection between the Kaddish and the Rochatz that we're doing. Kaddish Orchatz, it goes together. What's the connection? Because we get this incredible amount of Kedusha, we need to do something to retain it. That's Kaddish Orchatz. That's why we have that Vav. Now before we go on to Karpaz, I actually want to just go back two steps. Just say two quick ideas on the Simanim in general. Why do we have Simanim? Right? Kaddish Orchatz, like it's nice, it's cute, it's a nice way to start the night, but why do we have simanim? So on a very simple level, you can explain that, you know, if someone was going to take a trip, the best advice that you could ever give anyone going on a trip is make an itinerary, make a plan, right? As the famous saying goes, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail, right? Famous saying. So if you don't make an itinerary, think about it. If a person has this, wants to go to Israel, let's say, and they go to Israel, and they show up to the hotel, and they're like, okay, we want to stay here. And they're like, sir, we've been like booked up for the past 3 months. If you wanted to stay in like the inbox, like you needed to make a booking. I'm not going to be able to stay here. Like, this is where I want to stay. Yeah, well, then you should have made a booking. And I wanted to go jeeping. You needed to make a reservation. If you want to get the most out of your trip, you need to make an itinerary. And so the idea, which is, this is an idea from the commentator's Haggadah, he explains the same thing by the Simanim. We kind of need to have an itinerary for the night to make sure we get the most out of the night. So we have like a plan. We have a plan that's set out for us. Okay, here's what we're doing tonight. Let's make sure that we accomplish what we're trying to accomplish. by each of the different steps. The Mayana Shel Torah takes a little bit of a different approach towards the Simanim. We know in Halacha there's a concept that in order for someone, if someone loses an object, how do you retrieve that object? You need to give a Siman, right? A Siman. Now, the word Siman, right? Like Simanim, so that's how a lost object is returned. The Mayana Shel Torah explains that throughout the year, we, as Jews, are lost, in, so to speak. What does that mean? We're lost spiritually. I don't think anyone would argue with the statement that we're not as connected with Hashem as we probably are on Pesach, let's say, throughout the rest of the year. Pesach is like a very highly spiritual night. We're doing so many mitzvahs, doing so many customs, and so many different Torah. The Haggadah is the single most published sefer ever in the world. There's thousands of Haggadahs, more so than anything else. There's so much Torah that's said over the Haggadah. So throughout the year, maybe we're not as connected as we are on Pesach night. So therefore, why do we have simanim? Because just like you need a simon in order to return a lost object, so too we need simanim in order to return to ourselves, to return to where we want to ideally be in terms of our spiritual selves and where we want to be. So those are just two quick ideas on the simanim. Getting back to the order, karpas. Let's go to karpas. So karpas, very simply, why do we use vegetables? We use vegetables because what are we commemorating on this night? We're commemorating that we were slaves. And what food do you think slaves used to eat? They would eat whatever was left over on the ground at the end of the day of working. What was left over on the ground usually was the vegetables. That's what we're commemorating. However, on the exact same, like on the flip side, there's this duality of the night. What do I mean? Why do we dip it? The reason we specifically dip the karpas is actually to remember that in the olden days, the only people who would dip their foods were the noblemen. So therefore, we kind of have this duality of night, which we know. We start off talking about Avodah Mayinu, and then we are freed by the end of the night. So the same thing here. We're picking up this vegetable, and we're saying, with this vegetable, I remember that I and my ancestors, we were slaves, and that's what we used to eat. But I'm dipping it to show, no, I'm free at the exact same time. So this duality of the night also exists within karpas. And then the obvious, why the salt water, again, obviously we all know, is to remember the tears. Now, let's go a little bit deeper. Fascinating, fascinating idea. A little Torah trivia here. Where else, or where in the Torah, do we see the word karpas? Where do we see the, yeah, go ahead. You got to unmute yourself.
Megillah's Esther, first parent.
Okay, good. We do good. That's in Megillah. We're in Torah Shebichtav, but that's good. Good, good. Where else? Where in the Torah Shebichtav do we see? It's actually. Let me clarify. It's not. It's in one of the Parshanim, one of the commentators on the Torah Shebichtav. It's in the Yosef story. When the brothers, what is?
Well,
the Ksonas, exactly. The Ksonas Pasim. Rashi tells us, what was the Ksonas Pasim made out of? It was made out of karpas. Now, I'm not saying that Yosef was wearing a coat made out of vegetables or potatoes. That's not what I'm saying. Yosef, the word karpas has another meaning. Rashi explains, it's made out of fine wool. Now, it's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that the word karpas used by Yosef's coat in Rashi is the same thing that we use on Pesach night. Now, What's the deeper meaning here? The karpas that was used by Yosef alludes to the time that the brothers dipped Yosef's coat, right? Like we dip the karpas, Yosef's brothers dipped his coat into the blood and brought it back to Yaakov. Now, think back to the Yosef story. What was the outcome of that dipping? What happened next? So they went back to Yaakov. Yaakov mourned. But then what happened next is that Yosef was sold. And where did he go down to? Down to Mitzrayim. Why did the Jews in the first place go down to Mitzrayim? Because they found out that Yosef was alive. And they all came down to live in Mitzrayim and be with Yosef. So the whole entire Golos really started from that karpas that was dipped originally. And what we are doing on this night is we are being mitaki, and we are rectifying that original karpas that was dipped in the wrong way, and we are doing it in the right way. And we do it kind of just like that karpas represented Yosef, who was pushed to the side by his brothers. We take a vegetable, which in general is pushed to the side in a way, meaning vegetables are usually sides at a meal, usually, not everyone. I personally like salads, but not everyone, fine. So vegetables are usually pushed to the side. We take a vegetable and we say, no, we are making you a prominent thing. We're starting our seder. The first thing we're going to eat for the night, we're taking karpas, and we're going to do it with everyone around us. We're going to do it with our families and show we are being mitaking right now. Yosef's brothers pushed him to the side, didn't have achdus. We are being mitaking it by doing it with our families and dipping it in the right way. Okay. Let's go on to let's skip Yachatz for now. Let's go to Halachmanya. Halachmanya. So Rav Soloveitchik asks a very interesting question. We say in Halachmanya, we say Kol Dichvin Yisei VeYechol Kol Ditzrich Yisei VeYisal. We basically make an invitation going on right now. We're like sitting in the middle of our seder, and all of a sudden we're like, anybody want to come? Like, are we actually opening our windows or our doors and like calling out to say, hey, anybody want to come join us? So the Rav asks, Rav Soloveitchik asks, is this a real invitation? No one's actually coming. So the Rav explains that by proclaiming this right at the beginning of our Seder, what we're actually saying is, we are free. Why? How is this saying we are free? Because who can invite guests? Who has the ability to invite guests? A free person. An Eved doesn't have the ability to invite people. In order to be able to invite people, you have to be free. And that's why we start off with the Seder. We start off the Seder specifically saying, Kol dechven yisei v'yecho, kol dechruch yisei v'yivsach. Anyone who wants to come, please come, showing that we are free people. Now, another quick idea on Halachmanya, and maybe we'll pick up with the rest of the Seder next week. We'll do another, if people are available, I'm happy to do another Haggadah Shir going through more insights on either Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll put it out on the group chat. One other quick idea. If you notice something very unique about Halachmanya, it's the only paragraph in the whole entire Haggadah that's in Aramaic. Why? Why is this in Aramaic? So Rav Bezalel Rudinsky, in the Mishkan Bezalel, explains a very interesting idea. There's Gemara in Pesachim, which says, a person should never ask for their needs in Aramaic. Never. Never ask for their needs in Aramaic. Why is that? So the Gemara explains why. Because Malachim specifically understand Aramaic, and therefore we don't want to rely on Aramaic. So it's an interesting idea. Okay, fine. But now, so how does that explain why we start off the night in Aramaic? So we want to basically say is... Sorry. I just realized I said one thing wrong. Malachim don't understand Aramaic. Sorry. The Gemara says the Malachim don't understand Aramaic. The Gemara says the Malachim don't understand Aramaic. So why do we dafka start off this night in Aramaic? To say we don't need the Malachim on this night. We don't need the Malachim because Hashem is here. Hashem's with us right now. We know Hashem is here with us. I'm blocking on where I saw this idea originally. But there is, I think maybe it was just a Gemara. There's a Gemara Yerushalmi that says that every single night Hashem goes to Gan Eden to be with the Tzaddikim. But there's one night that's an exception to that. What's that night? Obviously it's Pesach. Why? On Pesach, Hashem comes to each and every single one of our seders. And that's the idea that we're saying here. We're starting off Halachmanya in Aramaic to say, Malachim, we don't need you. Hashem is here literally with us right now. So we'll continue next week. We'll arrange the time on either Tuesday or Wednesday to have Haggadah Insights part number 2. And thank you to everyone who joined us for tonight.